It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
The police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Here we go, Tuesday, April 7th, 2026, and one of my favorite guests, you know, no offense to our regulars out there, but you don't drive all the way from Yuma to be here. So Carol Brown, our guest from the Area Agency on Aging, part of WACOG, Western Arizona Council of Governments, and she is a veritable, I love that word, wealth of information when it comes to aging, the elderly, elder abuse, education when it comes to the elderly in the home, the hazards that I don't know what to say. You have all of the, you have it all down, Carol.
Well, I try.
You do. You do very, very well. And you like the Eagles, so you're not all bad, right?
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Today we're going to talk about a number of issues. And one of those, Volunteer Appreciation Month, we'll talk about some educational opportunities for organizations out there that might want to get WACOG there for presentation purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to address this first.
Yeah, please do.
I got a text from Coco at the food bank, or Colleen Mattinson, as she's more formally known. The regular food bank items like canned meat, tuna, Spam, believe it or not. Chicken, ravioli, and I love Spam. Don't get me wrong, right? If you could put it in a skillet and grill it on a camping trip, man, that's some of the best meat ever besides venison. Canned fruits and vegetables, canned beans and chili, canned tomatoes, sliced, diced, or chopped, pastas and pasta sauces, soups and crackers, peanut butter, mac and cheese, cereal. It's almost lunchtime, can you tell? Stuff the truck. That's what this is all about. At Smith's this Saturday, April 11th, 9 a.m. to noon, you're going to see a food bank truck out there. It says Food Bank Havasu Community Health Foundation. And on this particular flyer, looks like Coco's driving the truck. And it says, help us fill our shelves by donating food items. The reason I bring this up is she came in to drop it off and the building was locked. So my production assistant, Marissa, she finds the flyer in the hallway by the door. Hey, is this, do you think this is ours? Did it fall off the door? And I go, oh, no. Coco texted me and said that she had to slide the flyer under the exterior door of the building. So anyway, obviously she's an early bird because I think the building opens at 6 or 6:30. And yeah, all of those items that I mentioned, and I'm not going through it again until tomorrow, stuff the truck at Smith's over on Acoma this Saturday, April 11th, from 9 a.m. to noon. So go through your shelves when you get home from work, or, you know, if you're out and about driving right now, or maybe you just want to spend a couple bucks on some canned items, especially mm-hmm. peanut butter.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't say peanut butter, but you can do peanut butter, trust me.
Yes.
Ramen, there's so many things that you could just say, you know what, I'm going to take a couple bucks and donate it to the food bank. And I do you do that? Because I do it.
1 year we got together and did a PB&J fundraiser for our Yuma Community Food Bank. And we brought in tons of peanut butter, jelly, and bread. That was so fun.
Nice. That's awesome. There's there was one that happened in Bullhead recently. I just saw it in the paper. It's not the Daily News anymore. It's the Mojave Valley News, because they don't publish the paper every day anymore. So they call it the Mojave Valley News. I think it was called Jars of Love. And my former director/CEO Terry Tomlinson was involved in this. And they collected like 57,000 jars of peanut butter.
Well,
that's insane.
That's a great staple for folks who need
really
some
is.
Help.
It is. It went to the Bullhead Regional Food Bank, the new one. I don't know if there's still a Colorado River, but there's a number of food banks north of Havasu that are benefiting from this Jars of Love. And Gina Morga, who we've talked to from Wormsea, was involved with this as well. She's in the photo. But, just pallets of peanut butter. Right? You got to love that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great idea.
I'm a PB&J guy.
Yeah.
I'll get a craving. And then, what do you mean I don't have any jam? Because I don't really eat jelly. I like jam. So, anyway, boy, why am I talking about food so much, right? Also, we're talking about seniors today. The Bullhead City Golden Games are on now. They started Sunday the 5th, run through the 12th, and open to men and women 50 years or older. Stay golden. There's a number of sports that you can enter, and it's at bullheadcityaz.gov, or call Jeannie Figueroa. She's the recreation supervisor who resurrected the Golden Games. It's 855-924-6882. A wonderful interview, too. If you want to hear it on Speak Out, you'll have to go to the KNTRtalk.com Speak Out archive. Just search. I think you can do F7, if I remember right. Get on a webpage. I think it's like Control F7 or Alt F7 or something. Somebody will correct me here, or maybe it's Alt S. You're looking for Golden Games or Genie. Just look for that. Janie Figueroa, Recreation Supervisor. There you go. Look for that on that page, and it'll take you back about 3 or 4 weeks. So not too bad.
Well, that's a great event to bring back. I'm so glad you did that, Janie. That's awesome.
Right, absolutely. There's a big one, I guess, up in Utah. That's supposed to be. Are you familiar with this? The recreation aspect of getting older?
Well, yes, and it just depends on what context. But I work with someone who's part of the Senior Olympics for falls prevention, and she's just a tremendous individual. So we've met a lot of the seniors that get involved in the games each year, and it's pretty amazing. They are far healthier than most of us.
How important is it, and how do seniors maintain their sense of balance and keep it sharp?
So there are a lot of programs out there. Now, this is going to sound like technical speak, but they're called top-tiered, evidence-based falls prevention programs.
Makes sense to me, evidence-based.
Yes. And so on a national level, in our case for an area agency on aging, we promote out those evidence-based programs, working to provide those. There can be some that are not at that highest level, but they still meet a need for falls prevention. So focusing on balance, on strengthening, on understanding just some real common errors that people can make with how they walk, how they're planting their feet, you know, their vision, all of that.
Can I guess one of them?
Sure.
Getting up too fast.
Yep. Absolutely, because you get dizzy.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Guilty. Yeah. I'm in a hurry to do everything, and up here I'm still 18.
It can happen. Mm-hmm. So focusing on that is really tantamount to how healthy we're going to continue our aging process.
What about what you eat? Does that play a role in that? Too much sugar, too many carbs, too much protein. Could that affect your sense of balance?
Well, honestly, I'm going to say that what we eat affects all of our health in relation to every aspect of how we want to age well. You know, I'm always the unfun person in the room when people are asking, well, what can we do to improve our health, and what can we do to improve, you know, our stability with walking, running, exercise? How can we improve our brain health? And diet is a huge part of it. And it's not fun, but it's true. So we do need to eat well. We do need to eliminate the things that we shouldn't be putting in our bodies as much as possible.
Like the Oreos I was eating before the show?
You know, a bag is not a good idea. Maybe one or two.
Okay.
You know?
I like that. A bag is not a good idea.
Moderation.
I got you.
Moderation.
What about, we hear so much about hydration.
Yes,
how
sure.
much is too much? How much is enough?
Well, just as a standard rule of thumb, most of the time what we are taught and told is 64 ounces a day. That really should be the goal. Now, it depends on if you're going to be working outside. Do you have a strenuous job? Are you exercising heavily? Are you making sure you're hydrating with more than water? Are you getting in electrolytes, etc.? Mm-hmm. But 64 ounces, which does sound like a ton, but it really is good for our bodies, because when we're not hydrated, it affects all kinds of things.
I've heard, too, from we have a guest who's a District 5 County Supervisor, Ron Gould. He's mm-hmm. also an air conditioning HVAC business owner. When we drink reverse osmosis water, the minerals are gone. So we have to supplement those minerals. It tastes good, but those minerals need to go back in, and a good way to do that, he says, is using emergency or some of that type of powder.
Yes, so there's so many electrolyte products that are out there. People really should do some research, and then I would talk to your primary care physician about what's going to be best for you. My husband works outdoors 365. And he has to be extremely cautious this year, even more so because the heat came on sooner.
Oh,
but
man.
He has to be very, very cautious every day and really monitor the amount of water, his intake, but also electrolytes to make sure that he can remain as safe as possible when he's out in the heat.
Wow. I guess, yeah. And over a certain age, does that matter?
It sure does.
Really?
Absolutely. We are more prone to heat illness and heat stroke as we age. And some of that is just how we metabolize. And unfortunately, many people have an aversion to drinking water. And that opinion can grow deeper as we age. So we're not even getting in enough liquid. Our medications that we take, if we have any health conditions where we're more susceptible to the heat, how we dress, if we are staying indoors most of the time and then we're outside for a bit longer than usual, it can really hit us hard. But the bottom line is our metabolism is different as we age, and so the heat can hit us more quickly, and it can be more dangerous for us.
I noticed it on a remote I did recently. I mean, I used to play in the middle of the summer, just not very long ago, and, you know, in an outdoor bar setting. And, I was warm. It was uncomfortable in that, and I would cool off during the breaks, but I just did a remote where I was like, man, it was March, and it was very warm. It was like 105 in the shade.
And the other thing, too, is with the heat coming on sooner this year, the challenge is that we're not acclimated. We normally have a slow, steady burn to get to those high, high temperatures, and that hasn't happened this year. So there's more of a chance of what we call falling out from the heat, because it can catch you off guard. You're thinking, I'm fine. But you may not be, because 95 and above in March, in February, that's pretty high.
Well, the good news is we're going to head down in the mid-70s by next week.
Well, it will be a lovely break, but then I'll just say on the other side of that, folks, be ready.
Yeah.
Because every time your body's having to jump a lot of digits for the temperature, it does affect you. So make sure you work to acclimate yourself if you're going to go out. Pay attention to what the temperature is going to be that day. Do things early. Do things in the shade. Make sure you're hydrating.
Well, I did acclimate a little bit at the ball game on Saturday. A lot of people saw the post with me and Hilde Angus.
Yeah.
You saw it as well.
I did.
Our seats are now on the first base side, and in those late afternoon games, the sun hits them. And I was okay with it, believe it or not. Maybe that remote had something to do with it. I got a little acclimated, but yeah, Hilde wasn't having none of it. None of it.
It can affect you pretty quick.
Right,
you
know, right.
That's our reality.
So speaking of Diamondbacks baseball, Diamondbacks play today in New York. I want to say Shea Stadium, but it's a different name for the ballpark. And that game has been moved back 3 hours, by the way. So the pregame is at 12:30 on KNTR Sports, 980 AM, 100.5, 94.3 here in Havasu and Kingman. And you can listen to the D-backs and the Mets. D-backs on their first big road trip of the season. They started off on the road, but L.A., really?
it counts.
We all want them to beat L.A., right?
Yeah.
You're a Diamondbacks fan, right?
Of course.
All right, perfect. All right, Carol Brown always requests the Eagles when she comes in. Carol is with WACOG, Western Arizona Council of Governments, with the Area Agency on Aging, and we're talking about old people stuff. Right? I'm one of those old people now.
Older adult.
Yeah, older adult.
Yeah.
I get on Jim. I told him yesterday he was 90, and you met Jim Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's compiling a list for an elder abuse case against me. I'm hoping
We could talk about that, too.
I'm hoping that he waits long enough that he won't be here to press charges.
Be careful what you wish for, sir.
That's my strategy. Jim's a good guy. All right, back with more in a moment. Speak Out, of course, broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. We'll be back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us. One of these lost and lonely dreams now. We're going to find one that really screams. Don't you feel? For some reason, the Linda Ronstadt version just popped into my head. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's very, very, very good. But it's not the Eagles, right?
Well, I will tell you, there was an infamous concert at Anaheim Stadium in the 70s with Jackson Brown, Linda Ronstadt, and the Eagles. And you haven't heard anything until you've heard all three of them come out and sing Desperado.
How many of them were her boyfriend? Right? Wasn't she a Jackson Brown girlfriend at one time?
J.D. Souther.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Jackson Brown, but okay. Anyway, then there was Jerry Brown, of course, former governor of California. And then I wouldn't be surprised if Glenn Frey was in on that list, too, because the Eagles were her backup band before they were famous as the Eagles.
Yes, but about that time is when she was dating J.D. Souther.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. So, yeah, you can tell I got it on an Eagles loop, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a little witchy woman. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. Do you have fiber at home, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
You like it?
I love it.
Who do you have it through?
Through Aloe.
Oh, you have Aloe in Yuma.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have Aloe here at the station. I have Aloe at home. It's wonderful to work from home and have that link through Aloe.
Yes, yeah. It's made a tremendous difference.
Compared to what it was. Oh, man. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com, and by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. And don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives are at kntrtalk.com. And this is like a solo act today. We had three guests yesterday.
Oh, gosh. Well.
We had three topics and one, two, three, four, five guests. So, yeah, we had a rodeo calling in with the rodeo contractors. And then, yeah, and then we had Hospice of Havasu, who I'm sure you probably work alongside.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then Vitalant for the community blood drive that's going on now through Thursday. And it's not too late to go to vitalant.org and make your reservation or just onboard. Get on board. That's what they call onboarding. Fill out the questionnaire. Get ready to go down to the aquatic center and donate. And if you can't do it during the community drive, there's other drives that are listed on the website that you can participate and give the gift of life. That's how I look at it.
Absolutely.
Tell me about Volunteer Appreciation Month.
So April is the day, week, month that is recognized nationally for volunteer appreciation. And a lot of what we do with the Area Agency on Aging relies on volunteers to provide the support that we need for some of our programs. And without our volunteers, it just couldn't happen. And so this month, we're spending some time saying thank you and showing some appreciation to our volunteers. We're up here today. We will be celebrating our volunteers here in Lake Havasu. And tomorrow, we'll be heading over to the Kingman area. And then in about a week, we will be back down in Yuma, and we will be celebrating everyone in the Yuma County area. So we need you. We love you. We appreciate you. Just like any nonprofit organization, you can't get it done without volunteers. So I also want to say thank you to everyone who volunteers out there, because you really are the backbone and the foundation for so many organizations that serve the community. But at WACOG, we are so appreciative of all of you, whether you want to work with our littles, because we actually have programs called Foster Grandparents.
I love that.
They can go work with the children at our Head Start centers. We have volunteers called Senior Companions, and they work with our aging clients who would like companionship, maybe a little assistance around the home, a little running around, transportation help. But most of all, it's that companionship piece. We also have volunteers that help with that Medicare open enrollment time, those counselors that I've talked about on other programs, and also assisting with our long-term care ombudsman to be advocates in all of our skilled nursing and assisted living facilities. And we use volunteers for our health promotions program. So when we talked about falls prevention earlier, volunteers help us to be able to accomplish that.
Working with littles, though, that surprised me when you said that. Back in the day, when they first built Mountain View Park and the Laughlin Senior Center, next door to the Senior Center was the Boys and Girls Club, the Laughlin unit. And it's why are you putting the two together? It couldn't be more symbiotic. It was amazing how well it worked.
It's perfect. Many children don't have their grandparents living nearby. And they're missing out on that experience, that relationship. And going into the Head Start centers, honestly, they are that extra set of hands and eyes and ears in the classroom to support the teachers and the assistant teachers. The children gravitate to that kind of support and love that is shown them, affirmation. So, yes, I always say either if you want to work with littles, you need to be a foster grandparent. If you would like to be spending time with your peers, you need to be a senior companion. And then we have the other options as well.
I'd like to know what our listeners think at 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. You can tell I'm buffering for some reason, right? That's what I call it, buffering, brain buffering. 928-854-KNTR, or text us your question at 928-727-5566. Make this talk radio. Right, David Diaz, not just listen radio. There you go. I think we did we get to the educational opportunities?
No, and I would love to share with the communities up here that it's probably one of the least known aspects of what we do with an area agency on aging, and that is providing education out in the communities that we serve. Now, it can start as simple as, well, I'd like to know more about WACOG, and we certainly can do that and talk about all of our programs and services and resources. But into more specific categories beyond just that broad brush picture of an area agency on aging, mm-hmm. we also have very specific educational workshops and seminars that we have developed that we share out. One topic is Alzheimer's and all forms of dementia, and we have tailored many versions of this depending on what people are looking for. We also can provide education on falls risk and prevention. We also provide our seminars on elder abuse awareness and prevention. And over the last couple of years, due to requests, we've developed caregiver education. And that also can kind of run the gamut depending on what people are looking for with regards to caregiving. Something that we're going to launch this year is providing workshops in the community on completing your advanced directives. And we're excited about that because that is all ages, but we do know that as we get older, it's really important for us to have those documents in place. And most recently, I was asked if I would provide education on how to advocate.
Oh.
Lots of times people aren't sure how to go about that. They might feel a little intimidated reaching out to their town or city council, their county board of supervisor members, or at the state capitol or at the federal level. And so we developed a wonderful seminar that talks all the way through advocating in the medical realm, all the way up through the federal level. Sometimes people have really great ideas and they just don't know how to get that message out. And so we provide education on that.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in a council meeting or watched a council meeting and there's a call to the public and somebody steps up. They've never really done this before. They have it all written down. It's very eloquently spoken. And the council members are like, where have you been? They want to hear from you.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just learning the process, and honestly, stop thinking that the mayor or the chairman of the board of supervisors mm-hmm. or your state representative for some reason holds a higher place than you do.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
They're there to serve you. They're there to serve us. They do want to hear from us. Of course they would like it to be a respectful conversation or comment that's made. But if you have ideas, if you have an idea on how to solve a challenge in your community, you know, they're looking for that because they don't have every idea for every challenge that exists. So they are needing that community input. And it could be on a personal level that you want to advocate about. It could be for your community that you want to advocate about something. So it's not as hard as it might seem, and I always tell everyone, do it the first time, and you will realize how simple it is.
I got you. So this is my favorite song from the Hotel California album.
All right.
I love this song. I always wanted to play it, too. Victim of Love, of course, from Hotel California. And I swear, when I look at that picture on the Hotel California album, the cover, I swear it's Furnace Creek Ranch in Death Valley.
There's been all kinds of suggestions, I know.
Look at that. It looks so much like it, though.
Yeah.
And just from having seen it close up. All right, back with more in a moment. Again, we're talking with Carol Brown from WACOG, Western Arizona Council of Governments, and the Area Agency on Aging. And, she knows what she's talking about, Senior Program Manager, Aging Policy, and, like she was saying, advocacy, right?
Yes.
She's an advocate. Folks, the final concert of the Lake Havasu Symphonic Winds America 250 season will be held this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Lake Havasu High School Performing Arts Center. Music has been chosen to highlight American composers, arrangers, and themes. We have tickets right here. I've got about 10, maybe. Give me a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, and I'll let you have up to four. How's that sound? You can take four of your friends, make an afternoon of it. It's this Sunday at 3 p.m. It's called America's Legacy, 2.5 centuries strong. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm going to play a surprise song next. You watch. Is that the most fun to harmonize to, or
absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
Carol and I are in here on the break. I heard your part. I'm singing my part. Wow. Love it. All right. Speak Out brought to you. And Carol's quite the singer, by the way. I just have to put that out there.
Oh, that was a secret.
Wait. I know you perform, right?
Not anymore, but I have in the past.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's not a secret, though.
Well, it was a secret here.
so if they're listening at the office, then you might get called upon. Is that it? At a meeting? I understand Carol can sing us something.
Yeah,
I hate that. You're not warmed up or anything. Anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by Springburg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooters Outpost, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, and, of course, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And, can we just go out with this, or what do you think?
Yes.
It's pretty amazing. Okay, maybe one line.
Sky. And if ever you decide, you should go.
Who's the high harmony on that?
Timothy B. Schmidt.
He was in Poco, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they poached him from Poco.
Well, that was the second time that happened.
It's pretty... Oh, it is.
Yeah, Randy Meisner came from Poco.
And then they just got... what's his name? The country singer. Vince Gill.
Vince Gill.
Yeah, he would be phenomenal. That would be... You saw them, right, with Vince Gill?
Yes.
Nice.
Seen them a few times.
We have a phone call. Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, drummer dude, it's Horn Dude.
Former drummer dude, I keep telling you. What's going on, sax man?
Hey, just a real quick comment about Linda Ronstadt.
Okay.
Years ago, my first full-time job was with a construction equipment manufacturer, and I did business with her dad at Ronstadt Hardware in Tucson.
Ah.
And, We would talk about her all the time, and I said to him one time, I said, boy, she's got a great band. And he said, oh, yeah, they'll be famous in their own right someday.
Yep.
Oh, very good.
I guess he was right.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying the content on the show so far?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been driving around town doing some errands and stuff, and I always listen to you pretty much every day. And, yeah, I just love all that stuff. And, you know, the real funny thing was that he got me tickets to one of her concerts in L.A. with backstage passes.
Whoa.
And at the time, my daughter, on the same day, was in a play at school, and I couldn't do it.
Oh, no. That's almost as bad as my Queen story. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
God. Wow.
Yeah, but he was just an amazing guy. He told me that him and his brother financed her first album.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and he was one proud daddy, I'll tell you.
All right. Hey Greg, we're going to move on to a new topic.
Okay, man.
All right.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
In the topic.
Bye.
All right. See you later. The topic would be elder abuse. And something's happening in June that's relevant to this.
Yes. So World Elder Abuse Awareness Day is held every June 15th. We absolutely want to make sure that we put a lot of time, energy, and focus on the opportunity to educate and advocate in our communities, because many times our older adults don't even recognize that abuse is taking place. And that is unfortunate. 1 in 10 older adults will experience some form of abuse in their lifetime. And currently, only 1 in 24 cases are reported. So it is a serious matter. And it's important for us to take away the stigma by talking about it. Because the problem is, no one wants to say anything. It's embarrassing. Sometimes it's happening because of a loved one or someone that the older adult is relying upon, and that makes it difficult for them to speak up. So we do provide education and awareness year-round, but in June we certainly will be making sure that we are talking about it and offering the seminars that we have available. I know that we'll be over at the Bullhead Senior Center in June, and we will be doing the seminar there. I believe we're working on getting the date confirmed at Lake Havasu Senior Center.
Okay. Yeah, Kim is at the Bullhead Senior Center. She does a great job.
Yes.
I used to work with Kim at another radio station. There are 6 signs to... at least on this little bookmark, know the signs of elder abuse. Let me go through these, all 6, and then you can touch on these. Decisions about an older person's life are not in their best interest. Sudden changes in behavior. Unusual changes in spending or money management. And that could be by the person who, the elder themselves.
Yes.
Unexplained physical injuries. Unexplained sexually transmitted diseases, I can't imagine, or unhealthy or unsafe living conditions. That's number 6.
Yes.
You want to expand on those?
So as you can tell by what you shared, some of that abuse can be self-neglect. Much of it is from another person, another situation. And unfortunately, all of those can be very true in an older adult's life, and sometimes more than one of those circumstances are happening. It can be, as I said, from a family member, a loved one. It can also be, unfortunately, at times from a paid caregiver or in a facility. Scamming can be long distance. It doesn't even have to be face-to-face. Many times the fraud and the scamming and the exploitation happens without ever meeting the person who is perpetrating it. And our older adults can fall victim to all of it for various reasons. Sometimes their health, their strength, doesn't give them the ability to stand up to what's happening. Sometimes they are so reliant on the care that they're being provided that they won't say anything. But it's important for us to talk about it so that we let folks know around us that we want them to be safe, we want them to live independently, we want them to live with quality of life to their days, and there's absolutely no reason to accept any form of abuse in their life.
There are the caregivers' responsibilities, too, where they might be afraid to report elder abuse. I'm sure you've seen that. How do you report elder abuse, and who are the mandatory reporters, say if a caregiver wanted to put themselves in a situation where this mandatory reporter would definitely see there's elder abuse?
So there is a statute in Arizona law regarding mandated reporters, and some of those are obvious. It'd be medical professionals, financial, fiduciary individuals, attorneys, etc., those that provide care and facilities. But I'm going to tell you my philosophy on that. If you work, if you interact, if you care for, if you have involvement with an older adult, then just decide you're going to act as a mandated reporter. Your mindset is going to be aware, to be watchful, to pay attention. By law, I am not technically a mandated reporter, but I absolutely am. If I see something wrong, then I have some options. I can, if they're in a facility, I can report it to the state long-term care ombudsman, who is part of the advocacy in that facility.
That's a long phrase.
I know.
Kind of break that down, the state long-term ombudsman.
Yes. Yeah, so every state facility that's licensed, assisted living, skilled nursing, et cetera, memory care facilities that are licensed by the state have an ombudsman that is assigned to that facility. And the ombudsman's the advocate.
Okay.
They're there to represent the residents.
It's just called the advocate.
Yeah. I know. I agree.
Right.
Long names.
Mm-hmm.
They are there to represent the residents and their rights and to help bring a resolution to a situation,
whether
it's a minor situation or it is major and it's endangering. Anyone who has a responsibility in an older person's life should take that awareness when they see something. Listen, there is a hold harmless Good Samaritan law in the state of Arizona. If you report in good faith, there is no harm done to you if it's determined that there is no actual abuse taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But you should report to Adult Protective Services. If it is, I always tell people, if you feel there's any imminent danger of any kind, you need to call 911 immediately. You can report to law enforcement and to Adult Protective Services. If you're looking for education and wanting to understand how to recognize things, that's where I say WACOG comes in, because we will provide that education and materials, printed materials, to help back it up and to help you know what to look for and what your rights are and what your responsibilities should be just as a good citizen in the community.
How prevalent is it when older Americans who, you know, they have their life savings, and they're victims of fraud? Is it becoming more and more and more prevalent?
Oh, of course.
We were talking about fraud on the show yesterday with rodeo tickets.
Yes.
That there's fake ticket websites. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. And AI has only made it worse. But fraud is probably the number one reported form of elder abuse, and it is unfortunately running rampant. Scammers, fraudsters, they know perfectly well who is going to be most prone to fall prey to their scam.
They live alone.
And they're going to take advantage of it. And,
okay,
yes, do they lose a lot of money? Yes, potentially they do. I'm aware of situations, and you know, a couple called me one day looking for help. Unfortunately, the help they were looking for was, can you get us our money back?
Oh,
or
yeah,
can you give us money?
Right.
Because we've lost about $40,000 and we can't pay our rent or our utilities. We need food. Thankfully, a family member stepped in and was there with them and on the call. But it's heartbreaking, because when you're scammed, it often can be not even in this country.
Right.
The money is the part you're not going to get back.
Folks, there are countries out there that, I'm not sure if Jamaica is one of them, but I've seen these documentaries where that's their main source of their gross national product is scam money.
And scammers know how to jump in different IP addresses, and it bounces from country to country to country. But the bottom line is it can absolutely devastate and destroy an older adult's life. It can take them from being able to have that independent life in their own home to losing it all. And we don't want to see that happen to anyone. I know that. I know everybody who's listening right now, you're all shaking your head saying, of course not. Of course we don't want that to happen. So be aware, be alert. You keep your eyes on. Listen, pay attention to your neighbors. We used to always do this. When I grew up, everybody knew what the neighbors were doing and who lived where and who needed help.
And you didn't have to be Mrs. Kravitz to do it, right?
Absolutely.
That's a Bewitched reference, by the way.
So be a good neighbor.
Right,
pay attention.
Right.
And if you have older adults on your block or in your community, check in on them. Find out what's going on with them. Take them a meal once a week. Offer some help around the house, because that can be one of the areas they can really fall prey to, is someone who's offering those honey-do assistance where they end up getting paid up front and they never come back and they don't do the work.
So we don't have a lot of time left, maybe a minute, but you are not going to be here in June, but you're sending somebody who's just as able.
Oh, absolutely.
If not more.
Absolutely. So we're very excited. We have our new executive director has been named. Our previous director, Mr. Brian Babiers, after 53 years of serving at WACOG, has retired. And Ms. Veronica Shore is our new executive director for WACOG. And, of course, that's serving our whole region, which is Mojave, La Paz, and Yuma County. And so she's going to come in June and spend some time with you.
Maybe I'll play some Elvis Costello, Veronica. There's a song. But no, that's great. Great to hear. And congratulations on the retirement. What do you call him, Mr. B?
Call him Mr. B, yes.
Mr. B?
Yeah.
All right, well, happy retirement, Mr. B, if you're listening. So there you go. I'm so glad they let you come to the show. It's awesome.
Well, we appreciate it very much.
Carol Brown, our guest, always a great conversation with Carol Brown from WACOG's Area Agency on Aging. We so appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, back with the final shot in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'll let you know who's on tomorrow.
Johnny come lately, the new kid in town. Everybody loves you.
All right, back on Speak Out really quick. We're going to talk with the folks from the Havasu General Plan Committee. And looks like we've got Havasu Regional Medical Center Chief Financial Officer Doug Segesser. And he's going to be on the show talking about recent awards for both Valley View Medical Center and Havasu Regional Medical Center. And notice we're going to be able to talk about Valley View's got a new CEO. There's a search, so the former CEO is leaving. But Doug, of course, the CFO, and that'll be a good show. And then, let's see, on Thursday, we've got District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. And Friday, we've got a special show. A guy named Bruce Carney is coming in, along with our own Jim Chaney. And it's Eternally Bravo, I'm calling it. A Tale of Pure Bull. Believe it or not, everybody in the studio knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.